Welcome to Talking New Energy, a podcast from Delta EE, the new energy experts. We'll be talking about how the energy transition is developing across Europe, with guests who are working at the leading edge of this transition. In this episode, we're looking at time of use electricity tariffs. In most markets, residential customers are used to paying a fixed rate for electricity, regardless of when they use it. The varying costs of expensive and cheaper times are smoothed out for them by their electricity supplier. That's now in the early stages of starting to change across Europe. In some Scandinavian countries, hourly tariffs have been available for some time. In other countries, they're just emerging. And in some places, they're still a while away. But with smart meters, connectivity, and electrification of transport and heat developing fast, we're now seeing more and more tariffs where prices change every hour. I'm delighted to be joined today by two people who are at the leading edge of this change, helping to enable a more flexible electricity system. My first guest is Charlotte Blau-Sand, founder and CEO of True Energy in Denmark. Hello, Charlotte.
Hello, John, and thank you very much for inviting me.
Thanks for joining us. So, Charlotte, can you tell us in a nutshell, what are you offering customers in Denmark? Or if I'm in Denmark, what can I buy from True Energy?
Yeah, True Energy is an electricity supplier, and we sell electricity at hourly rates. What makes us different from our suppliers is that we have developed an app that integrates to electrical vehicles. And through the app, we smart charge the car, meaning that we will automatically charge the car during the hours of the night where electricity is cheapest, or during the hours where the production of electricity has the lowest carbon emission. And we're also working on integrating to chargers and heat pumps and freezers and other household appliances. So we will be able to automatically optimize their energy consumption through our easy to use app.
And how long have you been doing this, Charlotte? How long has True Energy been about?
Just for 1 year.
And what brought you into this area? Or what's your background?
Yeah, our background is from software development. We want to apply the knowledge that we have from that business to automation and user behavior in the electricity industry.
Okay. Let's now introduce my second guest, Simon Schmitz from Avatar in Austria. Simon, what can I buy from Avatar if I'm in Austria?
Yeah, hi. We also offer a sort of dynamic hourly tariff that basically passes on the power prices from the spot market to the end customer, which is it's been a completely new concept in Austria when we started back in 2015, and we're now also rolling this out to Germany, and it's still a totally new concept there as well. So we are trying to really push the envelope in enabling the demand side flexibility in that sense, and we are we're also offering different kinds of services to help customers automate the the load shifting, and we're partnering with quite a few hardware manufacturers to achieve this.
Okay, and you've been at this a bit longer than Charlotte, but what's your background and what brought you into this area?
I was actually working for a big energy supplier in the UK and Germany before I founded Avatar, and it just became apparent there that there was a big problem with the renewable energy storage. It was really being recognized, but the big suppliers, especially the sort of power generation side of the big suppliers, didn't really seem to have an interest in enabling the customers to be part of the solution. And that was sort of at least part of the inspiration to start our own energy supplier to solve
this problem. You decided you might as well do it yourself.
Indeed, yes.
Great. Now, my third guest, welcome back to Charmaine Coutinho, someone who's been joining a number of these podcasts, a colleague here at Delta. Hello, Charmaine.
Hi, John.
Charmaine, can you help us with a couple of points to subtle points but important points about this topic? First of all, the difference between a static time of use tariff and a dynamic time of use tariff, a subtle but important difference.
Yeah, for sure. It is very subtle but very important. So a static time of use tariff is where you'll have different rates for your kilowatt hour of your energy across the day, but they're fixed periods. So you may have two or three periods across the day where the pricing is different. And sometimes that changes between the weekday and the weekend, but mostly it's two or three a day. And that's that profile that it's called is set, and the pricing is agreed in advance. And the customer is very familiar with that. So some countries call it peak off peak. It's very present in most countries to have kind of two or three rates in a day. And that's very much kind of a very simple static version. So it doesn't change every day.
So essentially,
Dynamic.
the expensive times are always at the same time of the day, and the cheap times are always at the same time of the day.
Exactly, which is why you might get a bit of difference between the weekday and the weekend, because of the cost of power generation typically changes across the week. So it actually changes across the day, which is, and that's where dynamic time of use tariffs come in. So that's when there's many more time periods across the day where the price will change. So rather than having two or three, you might have 24 or 48. And that's really quite new to the market. It's based on, it could be every 15 minutes or every half an hour, or as the guys have said before, every 60 minutes. And those are the key, kind of key differences.
Okay, so static has been around for a long time, but dynamic is newer. Second point, the difference between settling on actual load profiles as opposed to settling on standard load profiles. Now, this may sound a bit like electricity industry gobbledygook to some. It's an important distinction. So, without this turning into a course on electricity load profiles, can you summarize why what this is and why it's an important issue for dynamic time of use tariffs?
Sure. So if we talk about settling, it's simply when a supplier, an energy supplier, buys enough energy, in this case electricity, to provide for the amount that their customers have used. And they have to do that every 15, 30, or 60 minutes, depending on what electricity market they are. So at the moment, most of those are based on some assumed daily pattern, and that's what's referred to as a profile. So there's a number of different profiles that customers use, but it's all assumed and estimated.
Okay, so every residential customer or every type of residential customer will just assume to use energy at a certain amount of energy at certain times.
Exactly. And then the energy supplier can measure that on a daily basis at the moment, and they scale the volume up and down and then multiply it by the number of customers they have, and that gives them the amount of power they need to buy. And so when Simon talked about the generation, that's an important input, because obviously in reality what's going into the system is very different based on a half hour basis. So that's what kind of settling on standard load profiles means. When you actually get into actual usage, and this is where smart meters really come in, you can measure how much is being used every 15 minutes or 30 minutes or 60 minutes, and B, you can buy and provide pricing for electricity on a much more accurate, smaller time period.
And this is new in most markets to be able to buy an electricity supplier basically buying what customers actually use every half hour. That's not common today, is that right?
Yeah, it's not common today. I think the real enabler of this has been the rollout of the ability to see what energy is being used every half hour or hour, and that's really down to smart metering.
So maybe that's one reason why we haven't seen so many time of use tariffs. But as the market moves more from settling on standard load profiles to settling on what customers actually use every hour or half hour, then we'll see a lot more time of use dynamic time of use tariffs.
Yeah, precisely.
Now it's quite easy for us in the energy sector, I think, to get very excited about time of use tariffs and forget that most people have got better things to do with their lives other than worry about switching things on and off every hour in response to changing prices. So, Simon and Charlotte, what's your views and experience on this? Do customers care, and how do you engage them, and how do you make this easy for them? Simon, let's start with you.
Yeah, well, maybe to start with the kind of positive example of the few people who are actually very excited about this. I mean, we do have some customers that charge their Tesla only in the windiest times and also the windiest days, and we can see really staggering savings that they can make. But they definitely are the minority, and you know, the majority of customers simply expect that you know, when they plug in their car or they run their heating system at home, that basically the device sorts out the timing by itself. And it's really quite a key to success in this area. And we've been taking the approach of you know, taking a modular approach of very, very simple help that we can give people, to just have a price API. So we actually publish our prices the day before in the internet. They can be read there, and you know, basically read by different kinds of energy management systems, totally open. And we also then go, you know, certain steps further with actually offering some optimization sort of APIs. And in the end, we also cooperate simply with manufacturers who are taking this job on by themselves. For example, a charging cable that would automatically sort of find the right hours to charge in when the customer just puts in the number of hours they want to charge and when they want to leave again.
Okay, so
that really makes a difference.
Yeah, so there's some geeks out there who will look every day at the prices, but most customers want this automated, and that's what you're enabling them to do. Charlotte, how about your experiences? Is your experience in Denmark similar or different to Simon?
Yeah, it's kind of similar. I know the gigs that you're talking about, Simon, but that basically we believe that it has to be automatic. So our app will every afternoon receive updated prices of electricity and forecast of carbon emission. And the app also automatically fetches information about the battery level and the charging capacity of the vehicle. And of course, the user can set his preferences in the app. So when does the car need to be ready in the morning? And then the app does the rest. It calculates the charging plan and it carries out the charging automatically by starting and stopping it in order to place the hours of charging during the periods with the cheapest electricity or the lowest carbon emission.
Okay.
So we definitely believe in the set and forget. It has to be super easy and convenient for the user. Otherwise, it won't work in a busy everyday life.
And that the way you've both described it sounds to me, as a putting myself in as a customer, quite a simple and clear proposition. How hard is this to actually do, though, to automate that response? Because I guess that's where the real smart aspect of what you're doing is to put the price signal out there and to automatically have the car charge or the heat pump run during those cheaper hours. Simon, has that been straightforward or has it been hard to do?
Well, I definitely say that it's hard. You know, if it wasn't hard, maybe someone would have done it already very elegantly. But these things are starting to emerge. But I guess the challenges I see and that we've also been through, one is with hardware compatibility, so that you know you have to somehow get the signal as to when to charge onto the ground, and some in the end. Some hardware has to be able to understand that signal. So, for example, not all wall boxes today are even connected to the internet.
Hmm.
And then you may have to go through to other things like gateways and so on. And then the other challenge I see is not just the you know the breadth of different types of manufacturers and so on, but also the breadth of different kinds of scenarios and conditions that the customer is in. So one simple example is that, you know, the kind of wall box optimization of one of our partners works really well as long as there isn't a PV panel also to be taken into account. But as soon as you add the PV panel, you know, things get a bit more tricky and the decisions that are taken don't always sort of ring true. So these are the kind of things one has to grapple with.
Okay, so and how is that something you're able to do today? So could you optimize or help a customer optimize differently or for if they've got a PV panel and an electric vehicle compared to one with just an electric
vehicle? Yeah, so I mean, we're just working on integrating, you know, the kind of PV energy management systems with also the with the sort of smart pricing systems. I mean, some of our partners have already found some reasonably good solutions to that, and I think these things will be offered soon on the market. But at the moment, we're not fully not fully ready with that yet. Also, to integrate, you know, batteries with the cars and with the heat pumps. So if a customer has more than one device, you know, it is a bit tricky.
It will get complex quite quickly. Yeah. Charlotte, and what's your experience been of trying to automate? If we assume automation is necessary for most customers, what's your experience been of trying to get this automation running smoothly with different electric vehicles, for example?
Yeah, the concept is quite simple, but in reality, it's quite a lot more complicated. First of all, because all the car brands are different, so it's a lot of work actually to be able to communicate with each car and get access to the relevant data.
Mm-hmm.
And when we continue with the integration to heat pumps, so this is just going to multiply this challenge. And secondly, people behave differently. So we have to implement all kinds of rules and exceptions into the app. For instance, what if you have to charge right now, even though it's the most expensive hours? Or what if several people use the same car but have different preferences?
Okay, so when you start to get into this, it quickly becomes more complex than it might seem initially. Charlotte, presumably you've got to, if you're every car manufacturer is different, does that mean you've got to have commercial arrangements with every car manufacturer, or you've got to have bilateral discussions and agreements with all the different manufacturers?
There are various ways. So some of them we have discussions with, and others that have APIs that we could just use. And it depends. It's more like a case-by-case decision.
Okay. Charmaine, let's come back for a look across Europe. So this concept of automating the customer's EV charging or heat pumps or whatever in response to the time of use tariff, we've got quite a lot of examples of time of use tariffs across Europe, but how common is automation of EV charging or electric heating with the time of use tariff?
Yeah, I would say at the moment it's not very common. And I think you can see from the kind of examples and experience that Charlotte and Simon have just described why that's the case. It's really very difficult to integrate multiple bits of hardware as well as having the right software that has to go through multiple gates or stages and to get this automation. So when time of use tariffs first came on, even, you know, static time of use tariffs, they provide a very specific signal to the customer. It's more expensive here, it's less expensive now. But the automation we've discussed a bit seems to be the key thing to making these tariffs work. And I think it's really hard to do that, really. There's so many multiple things that are changing. We're talking about early adopters now, but what happens when behavioural preferences change if it goes to the mass market? So it's really, really, really very complicated. I would say that at the same time, so away from time of use tariffs specifically, the level of automation and machine learning and artificial intelligence that's going on in the energy sector is rising. So those capabilities are coming in from both external to energy and within energy, but in other areas of energy as well. So that will help.
Yeah, and it strikes me that this is two companies, and we've had others on the podcast as well, that which are as much software companies, Charlotte, that's your background, as they are energy companies.
I mean, it's interesting that Charlotte is from a software background and Simon's from an energy background, two key skills. But then, yeah, let's not forget about the hardware, right?
Yeah. I want to ask a quick question, Charlotte and Simon, about risks. So the risk of expensive and cheaper times has been borne by electricity suppliers before. For customers, it's great to have cheaper hours, but the con of that is they have more expensive hours. So do you see that as a, is that something customers are worried about, or what's your experience been about the more expensive hours when they happen and how happy or unhappy customers are with that? Charlotte, do you want to share your views on that first?
Yeah, I think an important point is that we have to admit that due to the system of taxes and network charges, the final price for the individual consumer is not that different from 1 hour to the other. So that's why we focus as much on saving carbon emissions as saving money when we communicate about our app and smart charge.
And what's the interest from customers in carbon or money in your experience? Are you getting a split, some focused more on the money, some focused more on the carbon?
The good news is that very often low prices also mean low carbon emission, because when the wind is blowing and the sun is shining, then electricity production costs are cheap and so are carbon emission. So that's the good news. But when people have to prioritize, at the moment we see like a 50-50% split on prioritizing money for the climate.
Okay, interesting. Simon, what about you? What about this issue of risk and expensive hours as well as cheaper hours?
Yeah, I mean, we've gone through a sort of a spell of, you know, very cold winter in 2017 with some nuclear plants in France sort of basically not running properly and so on. So we had a difficult January then, and the spot prices went up a lot, and we actually started thinking a little bit more about the risk issue after that. And so we introduced a new tariff, which is not just called hourly, like the classical spot tariff, but hourly cap. And so that price actually fixes a kind of general price level for the calendar year. And if you manage to, you know, get a better price than the standard load profile would on that day, you get a bonus.
Okay.
So it's more like it's kind of a different concept. But we do see quite a good take up of that, especially also among the heat pumps because of the winter issue. And also the people who have a solar panel quite like it because they normally consume from the grid during the winter. And yeah, they are, you know, basically quite happy to have this risk issue solved. On the other hand, they can then not use the negative prices. So it's kind of a trade-off.
Okay, so you're allowing different customers to take different amount of risk, and if I guess some customers might be put off by attracted by cheap hours but very worried about the expensive hours, and you're helping manage that that worry for them.
Exactly.
So we've talked about where you're at, what you've learnt. It's a fascinating topic. Let's now move and look forwards, and as always, bring out the talking new energy crystal ball. So I've got two questions for my guests in the next years, looking ahead at the next years. First question, do you think dynamic automated tariffs will be the norm in 5 years' time? So are you both pioneers that the wider industry will follow? And second, what's your top challenge or your top challenges for the next years ahead? Charlotte, shall we start with you?
Yes, well, we see electricity consumption will increase during the coming years due to increased numbers of electrical vehicles, heat pumps, etc. And at the same time, people get more aware of the climate crisis. So we are certain that these two trends mean that consumers will pay more attention to prices and look for easy and automatic ways to optimize their own electricity consumption. So we expect to see more competitors.
And your biggest challenge?
The one is the lack of IT standards, where as it is now, the integration has in many cases to be carried out one by one, and that is time consuming and expensive.
Charlotte, do you think those standards will come, or do you think you'll have to keep going one by one, manufacturer by manufacturer?
I think it might come, but not in the very close future. There's too much competition going on between the car producers and all the producers. But one day it's going to come, that's for sure. And then there's going to be some kind of integration tools that also is going to make it easier.
Okay. Simon, how about you? Will what you're doing become the norm in 5 years' time? And what's your biggest challenge?
Yeah, I think it will become somewhat the norm. I mean, it's really one of the things that are holding it back, apart from the lack of willingness on some big players, is really the infrastructure. So that we need the smart meters, we need the settling on actual profiles. That's always a bit slow, even though we've solved it in Austria, and we are seeing competitors move now in this direction. So I think it just makes sense and it will happen. But there is also another variant where basically the customer still has a fixed price, but the energy time of consumption is optimized in the background. And maybe you can then offer slightly cheaper fixed rates. We don't necessarily prefer that because the customer is not so engaged. But I think that will be a variant that will also happen.
Okay, and your biggest challenge?
I think the challenges are basically for us a lot, because we're also one of the first, you know, to do this, is about communication and communication of the benefits also for the environment. So solving this storage problem, you know, why does a dynamic tariff solve that? It shifts consumption to the times when it's very windy and sunny. You otherwise have to throw away the energy. Mm-hmm. But many customers don't understand that yet. And I think the second challenge would be to make sure we can roll this out to more countries, to reach good scale, because the target audience is probably not the whole electricity market in each market. Those are the challenges.
Okay. And Charmaine, your view looking ahead, are we going to see these sort of models popping up everywhere in the next years, do you think?
I think they'll be much more normal than they are now. Certainly, you know, there are elements of the like customers and end users that will benefit and like to use them because they'll be engaged. But I do think the two challenges are one around kind of getting people to understand what it really means. So that level of engagement in energy vocabulary, even very basic energy vocabulary, which some people don't have or, you know, aren't interested in, which is fair enough. And I think the second piece is to make all of these work, it needs a lot of personalization for users. And that level of personalization we've not really seen, or we've only just begun to see in the energy market. And I think that's a big technical challenge, really.
Okay, so I think you're all agreed that we're going to see a lot more of this in the next years, but it's been fascinating to hear about the learnings and the successes, but also the challenges that you're having to overcome. So thank you to all my guests. Charlotte, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Simon, thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks very much for having us.
And Charmaine, thanks as always for sharing your expert views on the topic.
Thanks, John.
And thank you to our listeners. Now, this is the last episode of our first series, but if you've enjoyed the first series, don't worry. We're only taking a 2-week break, and then we'll be back with series 2 on the 10th of June. So thanks for listening, and look forward to welcoming you back in a couple of weeks. Goodbye.